He was on the board of sponsors of the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists, maintainers of the nuclear doomsday clock, which now stands at 100 seconds to midnight. There was far more to nuclear weapons, he knew, than the science that had spawned them. He wrestled with the moral questions they raised, studying game theory in an effort to work out when, if ever, it might make sense to use such a weapon in anger. The problem of nuclear war, it seemed to him, was fundamentally not technical, but human and historical. He was an iconoclast, too, and enjoyed being known as one. Heretics were useful in science. It was far better to be contradicted than ignored, better to be wrong than vague. As a colleague said, whenever consensus was forming like ice hardening on a lake, he would do his best to chip away at it. He dared to challenge natural selection as the only driver of evolution, and he queried climate change, not the fact that it was happening, but the usefulness of the models that aim to predict its effects. In any case, some of those effects might be beneficial, a longer growing season, for example, and fewer deaths from the cold. Environmentalism struck him as more a religion than a science. Not that he was against religion, he supported it in a diffident Church of England way. To get back beyond the Big Bang, certainly, you needed religion. But the real faith that sustained him was a boundless belief in the power and possibilities of science. He had witnessed at first hand how it could give mere mortals the power to destroy their own world. Perhaps they could use science to save it too, or if not, leave it for another altogether.